you know, be the, I will always be the recipient of that person's speech. He should talk to me, he should talk to me first, rather than me initiate and talking to him. So a lot of this stems from anger that, well, you know, my hukuk weren't fulfilled, right? That, oh, my rights were stepped on. This person, he came and he infringed upon my rights, right? So this person, he feels angry. He feels anger at that. That why is it that, you know, I was dishonored by this person? He is lower than me, right? This takes place when we're driving a car. We're driving a Mercedes, we're driving a Lexus, we're driving a nice car. Some guy with a Hyundai, he cuts us off. Oh, this is it. You know, the guy starts using the accelerator and, you know, he accelerates in front of this Hyundai. Right? This is what takabbur is. This is that whenever we think that certain people or this individual, he has infringed upon my right, we get angry. And this is common. Rasulullah ﷺ understood this, that this will happen, this will take place. People will get angry with one another. But the Prophet ﷺ, he has explained that one who holds his anger, one who holds his anger, Rasulullah ﷺ said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءِ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ. Right? That I am a guarantor, I am a kafil, I am a guarantor for that individual who prevents himself from engaging in any type of quarrel, even though he was rightful. It was his right to engage in that quarrel. For example, someone says something to him and he knows it's wrong. That person knows that it is wrong for me to say something, for him to say something like that about me. So instead of him retaliating, what this person does is that he holds his tongue. Whether it's his family, his uncle, his aunt, his mother, his father, instead of arguing with his mother or father or his aunt or his uncle or any of his family members, he holds his tongue. Although he was perfectly within his right to retaliate and say something in favor and to protect himself from what is being said, whatever negative thing is being said about him. So Rasulullah ﷺ has said that فَهُوَ, then I am a guarantor for his Jannah. In the middle, I am a guarantor of a house for him in Jannah. In the middle of Jannah. أَنَا زَعِيمٌ أَنَا كَفِيلٌ. I am a guarantor for him. So if this person holds his tongue, right, this person holds his tongue when he was perfectly within his right not to, then Rasulullah ﷺ has guaranteed that this person will be entitled to a house in the middle of paradise. Mufti Taqi Sahib, in his dars, he used to mention a lot of stories. He used to quote a lot of stories of his father, Mufti Shafi Sahib, because Mufti Shafi Sahib was his muslih. Mufti Shafi Sahib was his father, was his mushir, he was his muslih, and he taught him many things. He taught Mufti Taqi Sahib many things. So he had this inherent quality. Mufti Shafi Sahib, he had this inherent quality that he would never engage in quarrel. He would never engage in quarrel. He had this instinctively. He would never engage in quarrel. And so many people, they said negative things about him. This is very true. People said negative things about Mufti Shafi Sahib. So many people, they have said things about him on the radio. They have said things about him on the TV. But he never once retaliated against those people. He never said anything negative about those people. He had this quality. This was an inherent quality. When he came, he served the Darul Ifta of Deoband for many years, and he wrote many fatawa there. And when he was in Deoband, I believe it was his daughter that wrote something about her father, Mufti Shafi Sahib, Mufti Taqi Sahib's sister. And she said that my father, he purchased a plot in Deoband, in India. He purchased a plot. And this plot, there was an area. He had the title and the deed and everything. And of course, you know, everything in the deed has been specified that, you know, this much belongs to me and this much belongs to whoever is neighboring that that house. So then, Mufti Shafi, this deed came into possession of Mufti Shafi Sahib. And then Mufti Shafi Sahib, the neighbors, you know, he said that this is what I intend to build a house over here. So the neighbors said that, you know, this is not your area, this is not your spot, because, you know, our drainage runs through this spot, our drainage runs through the area. Now, Mufti Shafi Sahib, he had the title, he was a scholar, he had the title, he had all the documents in front of him. But rather than engage in any type of quarrel, engage in any type of dispute, right? Abstention from dispute. This was Mufti Shafi Sahib's way. Instead of doing that, he said, "Tika, you know, no problem. No problem at all." Right? And he built his house, right, away from those people. Later on, these neighbors, they came to him and they said that, "You know what? We want to give you our this land, but we'll only sell it to you." Even then, if it was someone like us, what? It belongs to me anyway. This belongs to me anyway. Why are you going to sell it to me? I have the documents over here. With someone like us, we would be at their throat. We would forget that. We would probably hire a lawyer, take him to court, and make sure we, you know, sue him for every single penalty, for every single penny, and not only regular damages, but punitive damages as well, as is, you know, the norm in the United States. That not only do people sue for actual damages, but that's not enough. We have to sue for punitive damages as well, which is sometimes ridiculous amounts of money, right? How is someone going to get, you know, $100,000? I mean, $100 million. The actual damages are $100,000, and they sue for $100 million. Well, this is punitive damages, right? This is something that the Sharia does not recognize. The Sharia does not recognize punitive damages. So Mufti Shafi Sahib, instead of saying that, "Well, it already belongs to me," he purchased it. He purchased it from these neighbors. "Tika, you know, I will purchase it from you." And he purchased that. When he went and he established a madrasa in Karachi. Most of the brothers who are from Karachi, they may know this story. That when he, Darul Uloom wasn't always in Kurangi. Darul Uloom Karachi was not always situated in Kurangi. Before it was in Kurangi, it was in a place called Nanakwar. It was in a place called Nanakwar. Nanakwar is an area in Karachi. There's a masjid there. And this land belonged to the family of Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani. Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani. He was a very great scholar. And he was a student of Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri. So it belonged to him. At the time, Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani had passed away. So it belonged to their family. So he established his madrasa there. So some people came to the family of Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani, and they started whispering that, you know, these mullahs, they're going to take your land and they're going to establish a madrasa, and that's it, they're going to usurp your land. So these whisperings, because the family of Mufti Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani was very much influenced, right? This is the way people get influenced, when they listen to these things. So they said that, you know, they started creating some disturbance and some problems for Mufti Shafi Sahib. So Mufti Taqi Sahib was telling us in class this whole, I forgot under which hadith he was mentioning all of this, but he quoted the qawl, and he quoted the statement of Imam Zuhri, that al-mira'u yutfi'u binuril ilm, that to engage in any type of quarrel and dispute, this will take one away from the nur and in light of ilm. That will take one away from it. It will extinguish the light of ilm and the light of knowledge. So you quoted that, and then he mentioned the story. So eventually this story and these ill feelings, this came to the ears of Mufti Shafi Sahib. So Mufti Shafi Sahib, instead of going and trying to placate Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Sahib's family, he said, "You know what, I don't want to start any madrasa. I don't want to start any madrasa where the origin and the base of that madrasa is initiated by quarrel and dispute and fighting." So then he moved to a desolate area, which was Kurangi. Nothing was there. It was absolutely empty. There was nothing in Kurangi. Absolutely nothing in Kurangi. Now there's factories and everything. I'm not sure about it now. It's been 10 years, more than about 6 years, 6-7 years. But it was there's factories now, and there is, you know, K area and all of these villages surrounding, you know, Kurangi. But before that, there was nothing. Mufti Taqi Sahib himself, he said that when I used to go and attend university classes, I used to take, you know, gadagari, you know, I used to take a gadagari all the way to the bus. So they didn't have anything. So he purchased this area over there, and some people even they objected that, you know, Mufti Sahib, why are you establishing a madrasa over here? There's nothing over here. There's absolutely nothing. This is Wairan. This zameen is gone. I mean, it's all desert. Karachi is very, very hot. So this is a desert. What are you going to do over here? No one is going to come. He goes, even if I get a couple of students, this is more than enough. Right? Even if I get a couple of students to teach, this is more than enough for me. So he established his madrasa there. Mufti Taqi Sahib, he said that I used to sleep on hard stone. He still has back problems to these days. I used to sleep on hard stone during those nights. And we had nothing. We had nothing. Except, and slowly, you know, people started to give some money and they made some buildings. Right now, if one looks at Darul Uloom Karachi, you will see that it looks absolutely amazing. But in those days, there was nothing. There's some kachche ghar here and there. And Mufti Taqi Sahib himself didn't have a bed to sleep on. So he bought this land, and later on, I guess the government, they wanted to take some of his land away, Mufti Shafi Sahib's. And he said that, okay. And the government, they themselves said that, you know what, we'll take this land, but we will give you this much behind. We'll give you about, you know, 40, 50 acres. Darul Uloom is massive. So this was exactly what was done. And slowly but surely, Darul Uloom established itself as a great center of Islamic learning in Karachi. This was all through Mufti Shafi Sahib's efforts and how he abstained from disputes and quarrels. This type of attitude, if we display this type of attitude to our families, to our friends, right, they will grant us this much more respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfahu." وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمُهُ. That whoever believes and whoever has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the final day, whoever has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because those that have faith are Muslims. Only Muslims believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Muslims believe in the last day, that we will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be held accountable for all our deeds. فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Then one should be courteous. And he should be engaging with his neighbor. He should be cordial. He should have cordial relations with his neighbor. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمُهُ. Then he should mend the ties of kinship. He should mend the ties of kinship. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. And whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the final day, then he should say what is good. He should say what is good. If he has something good to say, then say it. But if he has something bad to say, then know that two angels are writing down each and every word this person is uttering. Only yasmut, or stay quiet. Right? Because a sukut, it is better. To speak less, it is better. Our akabir, they were very, very particular when it came to speaking. They would never speak. I mentioned the story before that there were two scholars. I forget the names now. I think it was Maulana Mufti Shafi Sahib and Mufti Shafi Sahib, and there was another scholar. So he said that let us speak in the Arabic language today, because you and I both, our knowledge of Arabic or the way we speak Arabic is very less. Our knowledge of Arabic is very less. So let us speak in Arabic so we don't engage in any type of ghiba, in offending anybody or being offensive to anyone. So as long as one follows these with his family, mending the ties of kinship, and he suppresses these emotions, he suppresses the emotions of anger, the emotions of retaliation, and all of these negative emotions, then he will live better. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, his anger was justified. When he used to get angry with his family, it was justified. It wasn't for something that they did, that, oh, well, you know, this is what my family did today, or this is what my son did today, or this is what he did today, or this is how he slighted. No, Rasulullah ﷺ, he would, when it was time to teach, he would teach. When it was justified for Rasulullah ﷺ to become angry, then yes, he would get angry. And it was always for the sake of deen. It was always for the sake of Islam. It wasn't for a trivial reason. It wasn't for a mundane reason. It was always because there was a necessity that he used to become angry. So he never got angry because he wanted to fulfill his own base desires. He never became angry as a result of that. So whenever he used to speak, he used to give time to his family. He used to give time to his wives. He used to give time to his stepson. Even Rasulullah ﷺ was a stepfather. The Prophet ﷺ was a stepfather of Amr ibn Abi Salama. When he came to eat with the Prophet ﷺ, to partake in the meal that the Prophet ﷺ was eating from, so Rasulullah ﷺ taught him that this is the way that we are supposed to eat. That samillah, say, recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلْ بِيَمِنِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. That eat with your right hand and eat that which is in front of you. Eat that. So this was Rasulullah ﷺ. So as long as one suppresses his base desires, inshallah there will be maintenance of family ties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah food is ready downstairs. Jazakallah khairan.